of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. And today we are talking with Chip Engelman, EFT and Law of Attraction Specialist. So what is EFT? It's the Emotional Freedom Technique. So we're going to be talking about that today. And if you want to visit Chip Engelman's site, it's chipeft.com. So welcome to the show, Chip.
Hi.
Hi. So I have your ebooks here and I've been looking at them. And I'm wondering, first of all, can you describe what EFT is?
Sort of. I don't think anybody really understands how it works, but what it is EFT is Emotional Freedom Technique, and what it consists of is tapping on acupressure points in the body to release emotions from the body.
Okay. So do you know anything about EMDR?
EMDR?
Yeah.
Only as a term, not how it works, I can't relate the two. No.
Okay, so EMDR is you can tap on. It's basically I don't know exactly. I know how you do it, but I don't know exactly like biologically how it works. So you could have like wear a pair of headphones where you'd have a beep in one ear and then a beep in the other ear, or you'd have, you can hold these little paddles that one will vibrate and then the other will vibrate and they go back and forth, and you kind of you bring up the emotion that you're having. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if that's if it's similar to EMDR, because it seems like it is.
Well, it might be. There's a whole plethora of energy techniques out there now to, you know, release emotions, everything from Sedona technique to THT to, to EFT. So it's quite possible that they're similar. EFT requires that you bring up the emotion that you want to deal with. And by tapping on, again, on the meridian points, you're releasing the energies. The THT is similar, and I wouldn't be surprised if the same basic principles apply. There's a lot of exploration going on in the field of, I don't want to call it energy psychology because it's really not psychology, but dealing with releasing emotions through various different means.
Okay. So because I think with EMDR, it's kind of like you have two sides of your brain,
uh-huh.
and it's sort of like mixing that up so that you can somehow, your body can sort through that emotion and your brain can kind of deal with it. Is that similar to EFT?
I don't think that it would be. This is more using the actual energy meridians, like the acupuncture points. Okay. So the way some people describe it is like taking and cleaning these energy meridians of energy where they're stuck. Okay. I like to look at it as if you have two wires that are close together, it creates a spark, but if you move them out so that they're parallel, there's no pathway for that spark anymore. So it's not like the energy's gone. It just doesn't have a pathway anymore.
Okay. So, and now I'm reading your book here, and this book, can you tell us about the first book about abundance that you have?
it's called The Born Loser's Guide to Abundance, and basically it's a book written for Westerners. Westerners have a mindset of you have to do in order to get. So it's combining the belief system that you have to actually work to get something with the principles of law of attraction. And at the same time, if you have an emotional barriers to being able to succeed, like a feeling that you're not good enough, or a belief that rich people are evil, or you're just plain afraid to move forward. You can use the EFT to take down these barriers to creating the abundance.
Okay. So, and now I'm reading the other book about the Quick Start Guide to EFT.
Okay.
And I'm on page 5 here, and it mentions EFT is a method of undoing the emotional short circuit. When dismantled, the misfiring, suppressed emotion no longer exists, just like when you separate two sparking wires, the spark no longer exists. It cannot come back because there is nowhere for it to live. So I'm wondering, so it never comes back? Once you do this, like, through this EFT, it's gone forever?
That's a qualified yes. Okay, the qualification is, say you're having an argument with your significant other. Okay, you can tap on that and relieve, like, the anger that you're feeling for that. But the next time you have an argument, it will come back. Okay, and it will continue to do so until you get to what some people call the core issue, which may be that you're really angry at something your father did, and every time you're significant other does something, then it recalls that and causes you to get angry again. So there's a lot of digging to find, you know, where the emotional response is coming from.
So let's say you were able to realize, okay, so I'm getting angry with my partner because my father was a drunk and he beat me or something like that.
Okay, sure.
And so then you do some EFT. So what would you do to clear up that?
Well, we'd look for particular instances where you were beaten, okay, and diffuse those the emotions that surround it. They could be anything from anger at being beaten, hatred for their father, shame at having to be beaten, frustration that you can't figure out what to do right so your father would love you. So you have to go through and get all these different emotions, clear them out, and once you did that, then hopefully that would release it. Now, there could be other things going on, too. There could be anger at God for putting you in this situation. There could be guilt for being angry at God because you're not supposed to get angry at God. So you have to kind of root around and find all the things that are connected to that core issue and diffuse it. Then if you do, then you have a decision that you can make each time you get into a conflict with your significant other, with whether or not you're going to get angry at that time. So it takes the automatic response out of it. That doesn't mean you're not going to get angry at your partner. Okay, it just means that you're not going to be triggered the same way.
So what about for people who say, the brain does a lot to protect us.
Sure.
So someone who was beaten or abused in some other way when they were a small child, their brain, they might not even remember it.
Right.
So are there ways that you can still clear those issues without actually having to recall the exact first time that happened? Because
okay.
I mean, when you start living a pattern, like something traumatic happens to you, and then you tend to start living that pattern of, allowing yourself to continue to get hurt because that's what you've always known. So wouldn't it be possible to just take one situation in current time or recent past and deal with that? Or do you really have to get back to the first time when I was 2 years old, something happened,
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
The answer is depends, okay? There are some basic ways that people make significant alterations in their emotional, mental way of dealing with the world. Two that are the most common is one is decision. Like, a decision might be something like, my mother is never going to love me. That's a decision, okay? You might make a vow, on the other hand, which is, I vow never to be like my father. Okay? So if you make either a decision or a vow, back in the past, anything you do after that vow, okay, will help diminish some of the emotional load you've been carrying, especially, you know, as it pertains to pain and illness in the body. Mm-hmm. But until you actually get to that vow and reverse the vow and allow yourself to make conscious decisions about the situations, then, you know, you're not going to have a really lasting effect. So you have to get to the vow and actually do something to release the vow or make a decision to review, you know, your past decision, you know, in a more powerful way.
Okay. So we're going to talk more about this. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we're talking today with Chip Engelman, who is an EFT and Law of Attraction specialist. And if you have a question for him and you want to get on the air, you can call 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR if you have a question about EFT. So if a listener right now is dealing with an issue, can they call in and you'll guide them through an emotional freedom technique?
Sure, why not?
Is that something you can do over the phone like that?
My entire business is over the phone or Skype.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. So if you're dealing with an issue today and you want to try out the emotional freedom technique and see how it works, give us a call at 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. So it's going to be time for a break in just a moment. But I wanted to get into, I was reading about just the beginning of the first exercise in your book is about really having a craving for a cookie.
Okay.
And so you're doing your, can you walk us through that?
Sure. Well, the first part of walking through that would be talking about what the tapping points would be. I use 8. They are located, the first one is called the eyebrow point, and it's located close to the nose on the eyebrow, right where the eyebrow ends, or maybe a half inch in from the edge of the eyebrow. And you'd want to tap on that with 2 fingers. Just getting close is good enough. Okay. The second point is the side of the eye, and that's where the eye meets the socket on the outside, you know, closest to your ear. The third point would be under the eye, which is in the center of the eye, again on the bone where it meets the socket. Next point would be under the nose, and it will be halfway between the nose and the upper lip. And if you were to push down, you'd feel where your teeth meet the jawbone. The next point is called the chin, and it's located between the chin and the upper lip in the little depression. Again, if you push down, you'll feel where the teeth meet the jaw. The next point's a little hard to locate. It's the collarbone point, and if you were to feel your collarbone until you get to the notch in the center, and if you move down an inch or an inch to either side, that's where that point would be. Now, a lot of people move around a lot, but if you were just to take your fist and close it instead of tapping with just 2 fingers and just hit in that general area right below the collarbone, you'll hit it just fine. The next point would be under the arm, and that would be where your, if you're a woman, your bra strap crosses the seam in your blouse. Guys, you're just going to have to figure that one out. And the top of the head is at the crown point, crown chakra, soft spot wood on a baby, that type of thing. There's also one other point. It's called the setup point, and you would tap on that. It's called the karate chop point, and it would be if you were to break a brick with your hand, the part where you hit the brick, that's the karate chop point, and you just hit that with 2 fingers. Okay, so if you had a craving for a cookie, what we would do is we'd have you rate the cookie, the craving for the cookie, on a scale of 1 to 10, and you know how much do you desire that cookie? And we'd do that with a cookie sitting right in front of you, so you can look at it, smell it, whatever you need to do to get your anxiety levels up or your cravings up. So, and then we simply tap on the cry chop point and say the words, even though I really want this cookie, I deeply and completely accept myself. And we would tap around, starting at the eyebrow and ending at the top of the head, each time saying, I really want that cookie. Side of the eye, I really want that cookie. Under the eye, I really want that cookie. Under the nose, I really want that cookie. And we would do that until there was no longer a craving for the cookie.
So, Chip, would you... You mentioned that the cookie's right in front of you. So yeah. Would you be doing this when you just naturally have a craving for a cookie? Or would you say, okay, I have... You know, I'm addicted to sugar, and I'm going to deal today with my cookie addiction. So you actually physically go and get a cookie and bring it out when you might not even be thinking about it, and intentionally bring up those feelings. Like,
if you had a sugar addiction or a chocolate addiction or something like that, simply placing the cookie in front of you will bring up those feelings.
Yeah.
So it works.
Do normal people not
don't like chocolate anymore?
Do normal people not see a cookie and want it? If I see a cookie, it's like, that looks good. I mean, I might not go, I'm on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm a 10. I want it. But if I see a cookie and I smell it, you know, I mean, the thought comes to me that it would be pleasurable to eat that cookie.
Sure. Well, a lot of it has to do with the emotional charge. Is it something that you're... The tapping on the cookie itself is just getting rid of the emotional craving for the cookie at that particular minute. If you are a compulsive eater or you have a sugar addiction, and by the way, sugar addiction is one of the most insidious addictions out there. It's probably harder to give up sugar than it is to give up cigarettes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's usually something behind it. It may be anger. It may be shame. There's usually an agitation that when... you are alone and by yourself, like, say, sitting in front of the TV, and you just allow yourself to relax a minute, you start to feel that emotion come up. And that emotion coming up says, you know, I don't want to feel that. Let me go do something so I don't have to think about it. And a lot of people use eating to do that.
Okay, well, Chip, it's time to take a break, so we'll be back in just a moment to talk more about the emotional freedom technique. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Chip Engelman today. He has an emotional freedom technique, or EFT, and law of attraction specialist. His website is Chip, C-H-I-P. EFT.com. That's chipEFT.com. So if you want to get on the air today and ask a question about the emotional freedom technique, or perhaps you'd like to go through an emotional freedom technique session, just a little mini session to deal with something that you're dealing with today, then give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
Holy smokes! I can't believe I'm part of the coolest club in the world!
Bub?
Yeah?
So, what club is that?
CITR! As a club member, I get ginormous discounts on the Friends of CITR card, which in itself, Timmy, I must say, is pretty amazing. I get dirt cheap prices at stores and shops I'm at all the time anyway. To be honest, it feels like being in a club within a club!
Wow. Hey, I want a Friends of CITR card.
You don't even have to be a member to get one, although clearly you'd be that much cooler if you were a member. Go purchase your Friends of CITR card down at CITR, or at special events they sponsor, such as concerts, membership drives, and shindig.
I got it. It feels like having special powers. I go into stores and bam! Discounts.
Tis what I said.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are talking today with Chip EFT, Chip Engelman from chipeft.com, and we're talking about the emotional freedom technique. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can also email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. So welcome back to the show, Chip.
Hi.
Hi. So we're talking about the example of the cookie craving.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start out with the karate chop, which is like just past your wrist, where like if you were going to chop a block with your hand, with the side of your hand, you would do that, right?
Right.
And so you start out saying, even though I really want this cookie,
right,
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Right.
And then you go on to say, over and over and over again, as you're tapping, I really want this cookie. I really want this cookie. I mean, wouldn't that get a person more worked up to wanting the cookie?
No.
No?
simply because it's doing its job. Okay. The person, we can go a little bit into law of attraction. The person who is tapping on this has the intent of releasing the emotion, so that's what's happening. A lot of people do ask, well, isn't that like saying a negative affirmation? And the answer, again, is no. It's more like you're identifying a weed in a garden so that you can grab it and pull it out by the roots. Once you pull it out, it's gone, so you don't ever think about it again.
Okay.
Or ideally, that's the way it works.
So then you're going through, and this is something that I was confused about, because you mentioned after you go through the really want this cookie and all of the 8 points,
okay.
Right?
Right.
And then you go through it one more time, tapping each point 7 times. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, 7's an arbitrary number, but yeah, it could be, you know, anywhere from 5 to 9. Just as long as you tap. And
so you just sort of rapidly tap a few times.
Right.
Okay. And then you say, okay, tell me how you feel about the cookie. And then you say, take a bite of the cookie.
Right.
But isn't the whole point of to not eat the cookie?
Well, right. But there's a different experience. A person who really craves these cookies, you know, has an image of what the cookie's about. It's going to be sweet, it's going to be crunchy, it's going to be, you know, et cetera. A lot of time what happens is they get to tasting really what's going on in the cookie, and a lot of times there'll be like chemical aftertastes and stuff like that. So with all that emotion gone of what they're expecting to find from it, typically what the people will find is like that chemical aftertaste and be kind of, you know, surprised that it was there all along.
So when you say a chemical aftertaste, is that like from a cookie from the store, or is that what happens, like once the emotion is gone, it tastes?
No, it'd be more like the chemicals that are in the cookie, the preservatives, stuff like that. Chocolate especially has a kind of a metallic aftertaste. I'm not talking about like the organic dark chocolate from South America that's so good for you. I'm talking about, you know, the milk process. You know, that's half imitation chocolate, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Okay, so again, if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. And if you're dealing with an emotion today or right now, give us a call, 822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. So, Chip, moving on with the cookie example. So someone who has a sugar addiction,
right?
Would eating that cookie be the root of the problem? Like, how is that going to help if they have other issues? Or also, is it going to come up like, okay, so we've dealt with cookies, and so now maybe the emotional charge for wanting a cookie is not so strong, but then there's ice cream or there's french fries, right, or something else? I mean, is that person going to have to go through every food that they like to eat?
Basically this technique of using the toe, I don't use it usually as a part of a therapy. I would use this more like in a workshop to show people how it works. Okay. If a person comes to me with a sugar addiction, we may take one or two items and work with them, but it's not going to solve the problem until we find out what the underlying emotion is that's the real charge behind the overeating, whether that's shame, anger, sadness, whatever, okay? You really have to get to that underlying issue if you're going to stop compulsive eating.
Okay, so let's say, as an example, No, actually, I want to ask you about, what about smoking cigarettes?
Smoking cigarettes?
So can you use
it's basically the same thing.
Okay.
Okay. It's, you know, it, there isn't that underlying thing that's causing you to smoke. The actual physical addiction, it's gone from your system in the first 3 to 4 days. Okay. But it's the, you know, what do I do with myself when that emotion starts to come up? That's why, if you know, a lot of people will just trade one addiction from the other. They stop smoking and then they start eating, or they stop, you know, stop smoking and start drinking, mm-hmm. or you know what I'm saying. So, unless you find what that core issue is, the core emotion that keeps coming up that you don't want to experience, then, you know, you're going to find something else to replace it with. If not, go back to the same thing.
Okay, so even if you're doing the EFT, I really want this cigarette.
Right.
It's still going to, like, it might not be the cigarette, but something else is going to come up.
Right. Oh, we can get rid of the cravings pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10, 15 minutes, so we can get it so you don't want that cigarette right now. Right? And then you know, with smoking, we would do, like, you don't want that cigarette right now, but we don't want that, you know, I don't want that cigarette after, you know, I have my coffee in the morning. I don't want that cigarette, you know, at work when I'm standing out in the back, you know. We should start looking for the different types of situations where that would come up. And that itself takes care of the cravings for the cigarette. Okay. But again, that doesn't take care of the underlying core issue that you're dealing with.
So how, okay. When you're working with someone, are you, Chip, are you a therapist? Or how do you approach your practice with emotional freedom technique?
No, I'm not a therapist.
Okay.
I don't think I have a word for what I am.
Okay. So when someone approaches you with this, like how do you help them to get to the root issue?
Well, we'll talk about it. I'll ask them targeted questions. I'll ask them how they feel. And that's, you know, one of the things, right? You know, how do you feel? If are you feeling sad? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling afraid? Are you feeling ashamed? Are you feeling guilty? Are you feeling hatred? You know, just go through these things. And usually when I ask those questions, they're going to come up with one. And then we go, you know, well, when did you feel like that in the past? And just kind of follow it back. There's also, to be quite honest, there's two levels of EFT practitioners out there. There's one that there's the mechanical, what a friend of mine, Paul Zelziger, calls a mechanical EFT, where you're tapping on the points, you're going through, you know, logically, what would, you know, if this, then this, if this, then this, and working your way back, you know, to what would be the core issue. And that's one level of practitioner. Now, there's a huge jump between that and what they call, what Paul calls deep EFT. And in order to get to deep EFT, you have to bring something else to the table. And I call it the woo-woo factor. You have to have intuition, empathy. You have to connect to source energy. You use direct perception, whatever you want to call it. You tap into where that other person is coming from. Okay? So, you know, everybody does it different. There is going to be a different way of getting to whatever that problem is for every single individual practitioner out there, because each of those people have to find their own individual path to that, what I call that woo-woo factor.
Okay. So, and that's something that you do, you focus on with the law of attraction and spirituality, you get.
Right.
You use
yeah.
that.
EFT, once you get good at it, it becomes very spiritual practice.
Okay. So You mentioned, actually, you know what? It's time for a break, so we'll be back in just a moment. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are talking with Chip Engelman from ChipEFT.com. He is an emotional freedom technique and law of attraction specialist, and we're talking about the emotional freedom technique and how you can use it in your life to get through those emotional hurdles and challenges. So the number to call if you want to get on the air is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Hey, we're J plus J plus J, and I bet you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
The sitar.
We call it that. Do you?
You should. Unless you don't like sitars.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we are talking with Chip Engelman from ChipEFT.com about the emotional freedom technique. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can also email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. And if you want to be a guest on the show in the future, you can check out my website at spiritualshow.com, and you'll find links to past shows and all the information you need to learn more about synchronicity. So welcome back, Chip.
Thank you.
And so I'm looking here on Wikipedia about EFT, and EFT was created by Gary Craig, and you mention him a lot in your book.
Right.
So is he, because there are quite a few since that was brought in the 1990s, there have been a lot of people talking about EFT. So who was the person that you have been learning from most?
Who did I learn from the most? Well, I learned a lot from the source materials from Gary Craig. I was introduced to it by Glenn Depke, who is the EFT is one of the EFT practitioners for Dr. McCullough. I have a feeling he might have been the first. There are a lot of them that were working with Dr. McCullough now. So. But I guess those would be the people that I most followed. But again, this is, you can only go so far with the studies before you have to pick it. You know, you pick it up on your own. And again, each person brings something else to the table in terms of, you know, what you incorporate into it. A lot of people who are into EFT are psychologists, therapists, medical doctors, NLP practitioners, hypnotists, the list goes on and on. So, and usually EFT will be incorporated with that different modality so that, again, the person has their own way into finding out what the issues are all about.
So EFT is used a lot for PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder, general stress, addictions, phobias. There's a whole list, cravings, eating disorders, family issues. What would you say is the top two or three main issues that people tend to come to you with?
Depends on when in my career. A lot has to do with intention. At one time, I made I put it out there that I only deal with difficult cases. So I got difficult cases. And what I would put into that category would be obsessive compulsive disorder, depression, anxiety, etc. More recently, I've been dealing a lot with physical pain. So that was probably the next step after I worked with the difficult cases. And now what I'm choosing to do is I'm working with people who are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, business people who want to take their business to the next level. And with that, I'm bringing three things to the table, bringing EFT, of course, for removing the emotional blocks, the law of attraction, which is very big in my practice, even for things like pain and depression. And the third thing is I've owned two multi-million dollar companies, so I have actual business experience as well. So,
okay, so it sounds like you work on, because you are also a law of attraction specialist, so you
right.
help your clients get to the next level with their business. So,
right.
and it may be incorporating EFT, but there's also a lot of other things that you do.
Sure.
Okay. So you mentioned pain. So that's like something physical that happens in the body. How would EFT help with that? Can you give us an example of something that you would go through for someone experiencing pain?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming you're familiar with Louise Hayes. Louise Hayes wrote a nice little book called Heal Your Body that associates the different emotions with different parts of the body. If you're in pain, you look to this emotion. I found that a couple of years ago, and it reminded me of my similar studies that I had back 20 years ago that related emotions with pain. So I'm relatively good at figuring out what a person's issue are from the type of pain. Give you an example. A recent client had arthritis in her knees, had it for some 20 years, and within about a session and a half per knee, we were able to get her pain-free to the point where she was wearing high heels to church.
Wow.
It doesn't matter what the physical side of it is. If you take out the emotional component, the body will follow.
So let's say for an example, someone has an illness, like someone has in Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life.
Okay.
If you look at something, I don't have the book in front of me, so I don't remember everything. But I know, like, okay, let's say someone has an STD or some kind of issue with their reproductive organs, that would probably be associated with feelings of guilt or trauma associated with sex, right?
Well, it could be, the sexual organs themselves have to do with creativity, so it could be a blockage of creativity as well.
Okay, so let's say someone was having some kind of issue with their organs. Maybe they had endometriosis or something, and that's in your sexual organs, right? I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
Okay.
But I think it's something to do with the uterus and the...
Right, okay.
Yeah. So let's say someone has an issue like that, and they came to you, what kind of statement would you start out with as far as the creativity?
Well,
and
first of all, I mean, we would start by saying, okay, it has to do with something with creativity. It could have something to do with sexual issues. One client I had did actually have that, and it actually turned into uterine cancer. Okay, and she had issues that her husband was cheating on her, and after working with her for a while on that, we also find that she was sexually abused by her father, and she hadn't even remembered that. Okay. So after clearing those things up, she was able to get a pretty full remission from the cancer. Now, the cancer is not my specialty. There's many people that are better at it. This person just happened to be a close personal friend. So.
Okay. So let's talk more about the abundance side of your business.
Okay.
You have your book, The Born Loser's Guide to Abundance.
Uh-huh.
And you talk a lot about, in chapter one, there's create vibrational alignment.
Sure.
And you talk about meditation a lot. So how many times a day do you recommend people to meditate?
Whatever they can get. in the book, I talk about three different meditations that people would do during the day. If you get one of them, that's fine. The most important one, the three that I have is at the beginning, spend some time each day, you know, in communication with the divine, basically loving yourself. The second one is envisioning what it is you want, what that feels like. And that's more of a just imagination technique as opposed to meditation. And the third one would be just taking some time to be grateful for what happened during that day, because that sets up your next day starting off on a good note. But if you were to only do one, then the one of, you know, getting in tune with the divine, loving yourself would be the most important. So
how do you use the law of attraction in your business? Like, we talk a lot about the law of attraction. So I think anyone listening to this show would have a general idea about the law of attraction, but how do you specifically put it into use in your business with your clients?
I guess specifically, the first part of what I do with a person is making sure that not only do I understand what they're trying to accomplish, but they understand what they're trying to accomplish. So we have something really clear that we can focus our attention on. A lot of people who come to me have a vague idea of what they're trying to do. Like they may come to me and say, okay, I want to take my business to the next level, or I want to do such and such. And I say, well, what does that look like? And they may not know. So the first thing to do is just to define what it is that they're trying to accomplish. Then we would work on, you know, what's stopping you from doing that, and then reframing that in such a way so that they're putting their attention on where they want to go as opposed to, you know, what they think is keeping them from where they're going. So there's a lot of reframing involved. It's looking at things in a different way. Also, there's a little techniques. A lot of them come right out of the teaching of Abraham, where we do these things to start the manifestation process on a very small level so that they can see the results and see that they are capable of manifesting.
So what's one of those exercises that you would do to start manifesting on a small level? What's one that you...
Well, okay. The one I typically start a person using is, wouldn't it be nice if? And basically, that's you just write on the top of a page, wouldn't it be nice if? And then you write down those things, wouldn't it be nice if? Now, people tend to jump right in and say, well, wouldn't it be nice if I made $150,000 next week? Okay, I tell them they can do that once, okay, but that's not the purpose of the exercise. The purpose of the exercise is just to find something that would make their life a little bit better. For instance, I have bird feeders in my backyard. I might say, wouldn't it be nice if a hummingbird came to my bird feeder, or wouldn't it be nice if the sun was shining during one of my appointments today, I live on the edge of the wild. I have deer frequently come up in the yard. I might say, wouldn't it be nice if the deer came today?
Okay,
you know, or wouldn't it be nice if I got a parking space, or wouldn't it be nice if somebody brought me a Starbucks coffee? Okay, so this it's kind of like a multi-level thing. You start by doing this thing that has no significance if it passes or fails, right? Either, you know, if it doesn't happen, no big deal. Okay, so there isn't a lot of significance for it. It's not going to change your life one way or the other. But at the same time, you're starting to see this thing happening, okay? And then you start to pick up a feel for it, okay? But a third thing, a little more subtle, is happening. Like, if you were to look at yourself as this giant, maybe 5,000-piece puzzle, right? And that every time a hummingbird came to the feeder or somebody brought you that Starbucks coffee, you could take and flip one of those over, then all of a sudden your life is getting better and better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can, and then now, to give you an example of how powerful this is, I had one client who he was in the Pittsburgh area. He was a real estate agent. He suffered from depression, anxiety. He was going through a divorce. And, again, he was a real estate agent, and you know how real estate market is.
Yeah.
So he came to me, and his goal was to make it so he would feel comfortable going to following up on his leads, because he just simply didn't want to do it. He knew that, you know, in order to move his life to move forward, he had to start making some money. So he did something that a lot of my clients don't do. He actually did the exercise. And so he did this, and he started each day with, wouldn't it be nice if, and he wrote down, you know, a few things. But he took it to another level where he said, you know, when he went into a meeting, he'd say, wouldn't it be nice if, and what, you know, and he set his intention for the meeting using this technique. When he went to talk about his, you know, with his wife about dividing up the furniture and stuff like that, he would say, wouldn't it be nice if. And within 2 weeks, he had no more anxiety, no more depression. He and his wife got along to the extent that he could look at her and remember what it was about her that he loved in the first place. I mean, he still saw that, you know, everything was over and it was time to move on, but he could appreciate her for who she was. He made business contacts that were really substantial for him in terms of, he was a listing agent. He found a very good buyer's agent to work with. So, you know, they work in tandem. And he also found a niche in the real estate market that no one else was exploiting. So he started getting incredible amount of listings that other people weren't getting because they had given up. And he had done this in 2 weeks just using that one technique.
Wow. So now, a lot of times I notice with when people start using the law of attraction, in the beginning, they feel really good about it and little things start happening. But where is he now? You know, down the road, has the depression come back, or what's the situation been?
To be honest, I don't know. I guess about 6 months ago, and I haven't talked to him. You know, once the clients get to the, you know, goal that we set for the client, a lot of times I don't hear from him again. So I would guess that if he was having an issue, he'd be calling me back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was effective for the first time.
Excellent. Well, it's time to take another break.
Sure.
So we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Chip Engelman, who is an EFT and Law of Attraction specialist. You can find his website at chipeft.com. And this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. If you want to get on the air and ask Chip a question about the Law of Attraction or about the Emotional Freedom Technique, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC. CITR, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com, and we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
Vancouver Theater Sports League presents two new shows at the New Review stage on Granville Island, opening March 11th. The tribe has voted. Improviver Granville Island is back by popular demand.
This Survivor parody sees eight improvisers stranded on the remote regions of Granville Island, where they must out-gag, out-laugh, and out-shop each other to avoid tribal council.
Catch Improviver every Thursday to Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Don't miss Stretch, the non-stop improv show that squeezes every drop of comedy out of a single suggestion from the audience. It's improv that's harder, better, faster, funnier every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. beginning March 18th.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Chip Engelman, who is an EFT and Law of Attraction specialist. Again, if you want to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So, Chip, we're getting ready to wrap up the show in just a few minutes, so I wanted to ask you if there's anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you about.
Well, I thought I'd follow up on the last question you had. It was about, well, you know that things go in cycles. They feel really good at first, and then, you know, maybe did he fall back, you know, that type of thing. And basically, one of the things that I try to stress to my clients is that life is all about ups and downs, and they're both important. If you look at it like a sine wave, you're going to have the peaks, which are going to be your rest points, where you just kind of go, ah, I've accomplished something, okay? And then you have the low points, and those low points are there to tell you what you need to work on next, okay? So ideally, what happens is the sine wave takes, you know, like a rise to it, so that the low points, you know, now are higher than the high points used to be. But there's always going to be ups and downs, and they're all part of the process. And if you can get to the point where you see your low points as something that is absolutely necessary for you to move forward in your life, then you can start to look at it with the attitude of things always work out for me, and see that as no matter where you are, you're moving forward and things are perfect just the way they are.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying is that you'll still have times when you don't feel as good as, you know, you're not always going to be up, up, up.
Right.
But those times when you're feeling low aren't going to be as low as...
Well, ideally what happens is you get good enough at the law of attraction is you start to notice when you get out of balance. And you don't have to go, you don't have to, you know, keep hitting yourself on the head until you finally get it. You know, the first time you hit yourself, then that's usually a wake-up call.
Okay. So I just wanted to ask, too, about, because you talk about career and abundance and success, and what about people who are stuck with what career to do? Maybe they've been, you know, tried a bunch of different things, and they've worked at, you know, 50 different jobs,
right,
and they still have no idea what they really want to do, you know, and they'd like to have a career for, you know, 5 or 10 years. So how do you help people like that?
Well, we just go through each of the jobs that they've had. What'd you like about that? What didn't you like? What'd you like about this one? What didn't you like? And we start to look for patterns. Okay, this is what I liked. This is what I didn't like. And we start to form a list of likes. And we also take the what we don't like and say, okay, if we don't like it, what is it that we do want from that we don't like? And then we move it over into the like column. Okay, and that starts to form a overall vision or vibration of what that ideal job would be. So we start moving that in that direction, finding out what characteristics of the job that you want. And I want to say that then we trust a lot of luck, but the law of attraction doesn't work by luck. It works by the universe coming together in a synchronicity to provide a match to that vibration that you have. So basically that's how we'd go about it.
Wonderful. So where can people get your ebooks and get in touch with you?
They can go to chipeft.com, and that's chipeft.com. Both books are free. There's a lot of free stuff to do on there.
Great, and that's how you can get started with EFT, see if you like it, and if you want more guidance, then they can talk to
sure.
you privately.
Right. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Chip. I really appreciate that discussion about emotional freedom technique and the law of attraction. So if you want to be a guest on the show, you can contact me at spiritualshow@gmail.com or you can go to spiritualshow.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at spiritualshow, or on YouTube. The name is also Spiritual Show there. So pretty much everywhere, Spiritual Show is the name. So this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. And next week, we're going to be talking about life after death. So tune in for that. I'm going to have a little bit of a mini series on life after death, and we'll be talking more about that on Synchronicity. So you could be listening from anywhere in the world on CITR.ca, or CosmicDimensions.com is also broadcasting this show. So I'm on at 9 a.m. Pacific time on CITR.ca, or noon on the East Coast at CosmicDimensions.com. And again, next week we will be talking about life after death. And Neil Donald Walsh is coming on the show in May. So if you have questions that you'd like to ask him, I'm compiling a list of questions to get prepared for that interview, because it's really exciting to have him on the show. So if you have a question for Neil Donald Walsh, he's the author of Conversations with God. You can email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. And we're going to close the show with Abraham Hicks on the world financial crisis. Up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Abraham, this evening we're going to have a presidential hopeful, not hopeful debates, but debates between some hopeful presidential people. And
we don't find either one of them very hopeful, do you?
A little, okay. okay, so, but I just thought it'd be fun to hear from you if they would allow three people in the debate, and the person would, and the question posed would be, and you, Mr. and Mrs. Abraham, what would be your proposal to alleviate the current financial crisis, worldwide crisis?
Chill out and go to work.
That's it?
Focus upon the things that are important to you and figure out how to satisfy the details of your life. And stop looking to someone else to solve it and figure out how to bring yourself into balance. And turn off things like this debate. So that you don't continually harass yourself into the misalignment of what's already in your vibrational escrow. Mm. And then we would say, we have a plan.
Oh, yeah.
And it was set into motion long before we got here on this platform. And you are all co-conspirators in this plan. And you have, through what you've been living, been contributing to this plan. And it is the brightest and most exhilarating of future experiences has ever been upon the face of the earth. And it is the legacy that all of you hold ownership of. In order for you to claim your piece of this amazing pie of prosperity, all you have to do is look in the direction of it and see if you can remember what pieces of it you put there. Because every piece you put there has been lovingly held for you. It cannot evaporate from the stock market, and it cannot be squandered by those who don't understand. And it cannot be misunderstood by anyone, and it cannot be taken from you. Because if your life caused you to put it into this holding pattern, mm-hmm. this vibrational escrow, then it is forever there for you. And the only thing that is required in order for you to make your personal withdrawal is make your personal withdrawal by no longer paying attention to who else is making what withdrawals. Don't worry about them getting your fair share. It's not possible for anybody to get your fair share. Your fair share is always earmarked for you. It will always stay there in perfect becomingness. Oh, and we might tell you that since you put it there, it has been accruing with magnificent interest, the likes of which we have never seen. So it got bigger than it was when you asked for it, and it gets bigger with every request you make. And in fact, the more crises that is applied around all of this, the bigger it gets. So First thing, know that it's there for you and that no one can get it away from you. And next, stop worrying about what anybody else is doing, because it is your worry about what anybody else is doing which is causing you to hold yourself vibrationally out of whack from it. Now, we acknowledge that the majority of people who would be witnessing such a debate would not have heard a word we said. Because they are not accustomed to focusing upon the vibrational world. They do not understand that there is a vibrational reality that they hold ownership to, that they must find alignment with before it can be a physical reality. And so for those who don't yet know about the vibrational reality, we would say to them, worry not, we've seen this before, and we know that you can come through it. We would say, do not worry about what's happening, because nothing has changed in the last few days. Right. Nothing even has changed in the last few years that is so far out of balance that it cannot come back into balance. Then we would say, there are enough numbers upon this planet that are involved in the economics of this time-space reality that it is certain that balance